Yeah, it's just a couple of minutes past eight. Welcome to Have a Little Faith. And tonight's a bit of a special one. This is the first show of a new series we've got going. I had David Wilson and Grant Morris in, and they're from Zach's Place in Yarra Junction. They're going to be in the first Sunday of the month here on Have a Little Faith. So tonight's their first show. So first up, David, tell me a bit about your background. For those listeners who don't know David Wilson.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Great to be here with you. And thanks to Grant for at last minute coming along and sitting in the seat that from now on Ned will be sitting in. Ned had a nasty accident yesterday and isn't able to join us tonight. So thanks, Grant, for being here. A little bit about myself. I'm a retired man now. 1972 is when I started in church ministry and all things Jesus movement style in the 70s, and went on from that into further training and into community development work. Was principal of a Bible college for 18 years, 25 years teaching there, and also was CEO of Urban Seed, which is a mission to homelessness in the city, and lived in the city for 11 years, was elected onto Melbourne City Council, so I had a stint there in local politics, which I absolutely enjoyed. My portfolio was community services, so I had a lot to do with all the people stuff of the city. And after that, was Urban Seed and then retired from that and now very involved. My wife always tells me to say that I've retired from paid employment, not retired from busyness.
That's the way it goes.
That's right. And so I volunteer a lot with Stable One, another homelessness organisation, and do some leadership stuff with Zach's Place and work in the community engagement in Yarra Junction.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, a lot of those names of different groups, they're big stuff. Urban Seed, I remember them when they started and what they did. And, excellent work.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about you, Grant? What's your background?
Yeah.
And try to keep it under half an hour.
Yeah, because I'm a fair way down the track too. And in fact, I'm a little bit older than you tonight. I'm the older you, with you.
We respect you, mate.
Yeah, I guess it's probably the journey to Christ, the interest thing. It's been probably now, once I put a toe in the water and started to do it, it's probably 22 years or something more. But I don't know how, but somehow I ended up at the local high school up Yarra as a chaplain. I finished there about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Last thing I would have thought I'd be doing. A lot of things led to it. I had I had to leave the trade. I was a tradesman for many years, and then end up starting to do work up in the valley. I had to leave the valley for a time. When I came back, I worked for the community house for a while. I got together with another fellow and we ran the first trade-based youth program, three-month program, and then end up a stint at Handbrake Turn and started to meet God people and stuff. And then now I'm roped in, hook, line and sinker. I've been there for the long haul.
Yeah, that's good. And, you're both from Zach's Place, so doing some good work there in Yarra Junction and the Yarra Valley. But you got a bit of a theme going to happen for your part of the show tonight.
We're going to talk about good conversations.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, you know, it's all about... this show is called Life Conversations. That's what we'd like to bring to you, mm-hmm. Greg. And got to thinking about, you know, what is a conversation? Why are they important and what makes up a good conversation? So we're going to have a bit of a chat about that and a bit of a think about that. But first up, we've got some music that will address the whole area of conversation. So will we sit back and enjoy that now?
Yeah, let's start with a bit of Simon and Garfunkel.
Beauty.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. was a vision softly creeping, left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light to split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. In the wind of silence, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls, whispered the sound of silence. It's a still life watercolor of the now late afternoon, as the sun shines through the curtain lace and shadows wash the room. And we sit and drink our coffee, couched in our indifference like shells upon the shore. You can hear the ocean roar in the dangling conversation and the superficial sighs, the borders of our lives. And you read your Emily Dickinson and I my Robert Frost, and we note our place with bookmarkers that measure what we've lost. Like a poem poorly written, we are verses out of rhythm, couplets out of rhyme, in syncopated time. And the dangling conversation and the superficial signs are the words of our lives. Yes, we speak of things that matter with words that must be said. Can analysis be worthwhile? Is the theater really dead? And how the room is softly faded, your shadow, I cannot feel your hand, You're a stranger now unto me, lost in the dangling conversation and the superficial sighs in the borders of our lives.
You are listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Now, that's really interesting, you know, starting off with two songs that really actually have a hard time about conversations. Paul Simon, what a magnificent songwriter that man was and is. And these two songs cut deeply into the experience of a lot of people. Sounds of Silence, you know, the truth is written in graffiti. The truth is written on the subway walls. And a lot of people are just locked into their own silence and their own world, and they don't come out of it and talk to one another. And then The Dangling Conversation, which we just heard, I think that's an amazing song. Paul Simon, I think, was at his peak when he wrote the words to that. And it's about a couple who are sitting there, and obviously they've had a good relationship, but now they're just locked into these, what he calls, dangling conversations, which really don't mean anything. They're superficial. In fact, he talks about the superficial sighs. And so they're sitting there in the lounge room together and discussing what they've been reading, but they're meaningless, and they've lost what they had. They've lost the passion for depth conversation. And so as we start out this series of programs on life conversations, we start off in a negative sense, which maybe not a very good thing in some ways, but in other ways it's good to realize that some people have a really tough time with conversations, and yet they're so important. And Grant, you were in the break there while we were listening to that brilliant music, you began to tell a bit of a story. You want to share that with us now?
Yeah, in the men's group.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a men's group going at the farm school quite a lot of years back. And there was a fellow who used to come and serve us, just do the food and keep it real simple, and there you go. An older fella, older than anyone there. And over probably about a period of, I don't know, 4 or 5 months or so, he one night finished clearing up and would normally go, and he hung around, and we're going through them. It was a good men's group. There's a good rule of men's group. You can talk about footy and Sheilas for 8 minutes, and then you get into the meat.
Yeah.
And suddenly he was still there in the background, and he steps forward and during a lull and said, "I want to tell you men something I've never told anyone in my whole life." It was like I've heard it put like a steel door was pulled open, or a table was broken, and something was broken in him for him to speak and say.
Yeah.
It's a big thing when a man says something. A man has lived a life, big thing. And just from hearing men being open.
Yeah, because that's often missing in men's lives, the ability to feel safe enough to connect with people so that they can, open up with a truth in their life.
Yeah, it seems to me that we need the gift of curiosity. We need to be curious about other people and enter into a conversation that, you know, doesn't dig into the areas that shouldn't be dug into, especially early in conversations, but being really interested in what other people are saying. Mm-hmm. And in psychology, my doctorate is in psychology and counselling, so forgive me if I wander into that area occasionally. In psychology, we talk about a revolving discussion sequence, which is the idea that two conversations meet each other rather than missing each other, and so they truly become a dialogue. Oftentimes, conversations can be two monologues going on together. Yeah. Oh, g'day, how are you? Oh, good, thanks. Is that your dog? Yeah, it's my dog. dog. Oh, I've got a dog too. You've got two monologues rather than exploring, you know, oh, you know, what sort of a dog is it? No, does your dog get up early? And so forth. So two monologues miss each other, but when you're really having a conversation, it's a dialogue. Oh, g'day, is that your dog? Yeah, it's my dog. Oh, he looks like a really healthy dog. Yeah, he's a healthy dog. Does he give you any trouble? No. So you see, it's coming together in dialogue, and it's showing an interest in the other person, and that's why it's called a revolving discussion sequence. And of course, eventually I get my turn to talk about my dog, but not before we've exhausted, well, maybe not exhausted, but gone a fair way down the track of exploring what is your world like for you. And that's the gift of curiosity, I reckon. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm glad you use the word gift, because that's exactly what I was thinking. When someone opens up to you, they're giving you a gift, and it's up to you to take that gift and unwrap it.
Yeah, trust.
But if you're not going to take the gift, if you're just going to, you know, steamroll over them with your talk, you haven't accepted that gift and you've missed out.
Yeah. And how do we build trust? How do we... There's probably lots of components that we need to have in the mix so that people can feel all right around us.
Oh, trust is so important.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But it can be hard to build, can't it, with somebody who has, you know, been betrayed in the past. It can be really hard to rebuild trust, but so important.
I've got a felt
room. I mean, this guy you were talking about, he was 70 or something.
Yeah.
And it was the first time he'd opened up about that.
Mm.
It does take a long time for someone to feel they're in a place where they can open that door.
Yeah. Yep. I've got a neighbour that would never, many years ago, that wouldn't even look up when he was out and about. And I made a bit of a resolve because I started on the journey to Christ, and I made a bit of resolve because I would never, if someone was looking at me, I'd look at them, give them a greasy, because what are you looking at me for?
Mm.
And anyway, God convicted me, and I started, I was riding motorbikes all the time, and I started, if I saw someone looking at me, and it started up in the valley here about 20 years ago, if someone was looking at me, I felt a bit convicted to actually put my hand up. I couldn't believe it. You know, people I'd see with faces like smack bums, and I think they're looking at me. I'd go like this with an open face, and the number of times that just people would just, respond, and it spun me out how easy it was.
Yeah.
Just, you know, certainly get the 1 out of 10 or something that gives you a finger or something, but or hardly ever. But yeah, it's amazing how people are hungry for a notice, to be noticed by somebody for no other reason than they're within vicinity.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You're talking about that. Like my working with, I hate that term, but walking with the homeless in the city when I was working with Urban Seed, I used to sit down and chat to people, you know, who were sleeping rough and along the road begging and so forth. And I used to ask him, you know, what is it that you really need? Obviously, a bed and a meal. But beyond that, what is it that you really need? And invariably it would be, I need to be noticed. You know, people just walk past and it's like they look straight through us and don't nod their head, don't say g'day or anything like that. We really would like to be noticed, because that's a very humanising thing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you said that. And that's so for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we all need a sense of belonging, a sense of connection, and good conversations can certainly do that.
Mind you, we've got to watch out for the look at me world. I only at a men's gathering I went 2 years back up at Belgrave Heights. And a fellow, a bit of a high flyer in media he was, and had a big fall, and anyway, but he got up and spoke, and he spoke on the look at me world, which was interesting, because that's the flip side of what we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Where you're opening to others because you want something that maybe isn't all that, that maybe you need something.
That's functionalism.
influences.
Functionalism, that's a good word.
Yeah, it doesn't fit with relationships or good conversations.
Yeah.
This next track is a bit of a strange twist. We're going to hear from Elvis Presley.
Listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Hey, Ned, when are you listening, mate? That was dedicated to you, Elvis Presley, A Little Less Conversation. I hope you enjoyed it, man. But it, in some ways, it doesn't really fit our theme for today, but I did want to play it for you, Ned. Ned lying at home on his couch with some very sore ribs.
Yeah.
But A Little Less Conversation, I guess, you know, some people do feel like, oh, I'm overtalked, you know, there's too much of it. And so we've got to be aware of different people's feelings about conversations. But let me just carry on from what we were talking about before those songs, and we're talking about the gift of curiosity. Do you know that somebody recently put up that Jesus was asked, I think it was 300 and, no, sorry, Jesus asked 307 questions. and was asked about 186 questions or something like that, and he only answered three of them, by the way, directly. but when I read that, I thought, oh, wow, you know, the power of the question, it's a really powerful thing, isn't it, you know, that we learn to ask, you know, not in a sort of a interrogation type of way, but questions that are just that curiosity and the interest in the other person and asking the questions and then, of course, listening to the responses.
Yeah.
307 times. What do you reckon?
Yeah, and that was that's not a complete record of what he said and did. But, yeah, asking questions means the other person then leads with what they see as the main thing in their life, the main thing they want to talk about. And I notice Jesus often would answer questions without answering the question. Someone would ask him a question about A and B, and he would instantly go to D, E, and F.
Something he'll learn.
True.
It's that sort of tension, I suppose, between you want to make something an invitation, not a trap or a demand or, like you said, an interrogation. And I reckon that comes from starting to like people. You got to like people for that to really work. And it's actually a bit of work to learn to like people for some of us. But once you take an interest, then it allows someone that space to open up, space that you're making it a bit safe for them. And there's a beautiful one I like is the sandwich. Isn't that a beauty? And you meet someone and go, and you want to raise something with them. Oh, isn't it a beautiful day? Hey, with my bare feet, you just stood on me foot a minute ago and it's still hurting a little bit. Hey, I really like it when I can say something to some safe stuff to you and you hear me. There's a lot of little strategies to get to be able to raise stuff with people and use conversation to do it so that it's of benefit for everybody. But I've learned to care for people, care about people, so it's important to me that that they are going to be not cornered, like I used to feel it happened to me a lot.
Right, well, that's important.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Especially if there's an audience.
Hey, we really want to have a conversation with you. If you'd like to text in, I'll give you my number. It's 0414 862 922. I'll repeat that. 0414 862 922. Love to have a conversation with you around these things. So if you want to text us in here, we'll try and fit it in. I've already got Ned sending a text in, and not praising us. Excuse me, not praising us for playing Elvis. Gee, I don't know why not, Greg. You know, you'd think that'd come from him, wouldn't you? But he said, showing interest in the other person always opens the other person up. And I think that's very true.
Yeah,
and he sent a second text, looking someone in their eyes makes the other person feel you're committed to them at that point in time. Some good communication principles there. And actually, that's a good segue into something that I was going to mention. The communication principles. You know, the Bible is is filled with information on communication. On conversations.
Okay.
And if you read Proverbs, it's just so many, I don't know how many verses, but many, many verses in the book of Proverbs talk about how important it is to communicate well with each other, you know, the power of the tongue and carefully you don't say the wrong things and all those verses. And once many years ago in one of my lives, I was doing some marriage counselling with a couple who had come in and they were really struggling in their communication with each other. And I started feeding them some material from Proverbs. Now, this couple were not people of faith. And so I just started sharing sharing some of the principles that were in Proverbs without telling them where they were from. And you know, I got quite a way through some of those great verses, and the guy looks up at me and he says, "Wow, did you write all this?" And I felt like, yeah, I should have said, "Oh yeah, that's all my stuff." But no, I said, no, actually I didn't. It's from somewhere else. And he said, "Oh, where's it from?" And I said, "Well, actually it's from the Bible. It's in a book called Proverbs in the Bible." And he looks at me, he says, "Fair dinkum," he says, "I never knew the Bible was this practical. This is amazing."
Amazing.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Another song, Greg, do you think?
Yeah, coming up next by Katie Nicole is a track called Honest Conversation.
You say to come just as I am, but do you mean those things you said? I've got so many questions and so much fear. Do you even notice me as my brain's on fire and I'm losing sleep? You say you're here, but God, that's hard to believe. Trust in you gets lost in my feelings. This war inside is flesh and spirit, and it feels like flesh is gonna win it. But you're the one I put my faith in. The proof is that I'm still here praying. I know you care what my heart's really saying. So God, let's have an honest conversation.
Listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And we've got Ned Wynn on the text.
he's texting again, is he?
Yeah, he said, love Elvis. We need Elvis every program, so we need to write that down, Greg.
Yeah.
And then he said, imagine how Jesus communicated to his 12 different disciples with that mix of personalities. And that's really, really true, isn't it? You know, you look at the men that he picked around him and the women too, you know, again, very different personalities from each other. And yet Jesus was able to communicate with every one of them. You know, he took their differences into account in the way that he had a conversation with them, which is just great.
He must have felt okay about himself, I reckon.
Must have been okay in his skin.
That's true. Was it his skin or his dad's skin or the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's a whole conversation for another day, mate.
Yeah, but being at ease.
Can we just move sideways a little bit into talking about what we call Good Neighbour Month down in Yarra Junction. Yeah. The Yarra Junction Community Group took on a project for the month of March and called it Good Neighbour Month. Did a number of things. For instance, we had coffee cards, which was a sort of a pay it forward thing. There's five cafes in Yarra Junction, and each one of them had coffee cards where somebody would buy them for $5 and then hand them out to good neighbours around the place. Thanks for being a good neighbour. And on the flip side of the card, it was, we shout you a coffee at, and then it named one of the five cafes. And that was really good. And it got conversations going, and some really good things came out of it, actually. Probably haven't got time to tell the story, and it's not my story to tell anyway, but we heard just today of some neighbours who received that coffee card and then passed on the neighbourliness to others around them in some just extraordinary ways. It was something that really caught on. Yeah. We also had a community picnic to end off the month with that. It was a picnic where obviously we invited all of the good folks of Yarra Junction and beyond in the upper Yarra Valley. And but instead of entertainment from a stage, the entertainment was planned to one of them was a circle singing, you know, with everybody entering in and around the circle, and the community, the people who were there at the picnic actually entered into the entertainment, which was great for communication and conversation and stuff like that. And a lot of good things happened throughout the month, and it was a good success. And the committee has decided that we're going to do it again and see what comes out of that. But Grant, you were involved in something that was pretty extraordinary and pretty unique, something called the G'day Club. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. It struck me a while ago, a year or two ago, that people, if you put your hand out to most people, they'll actually want to shake your hand.
Yeah.
So I thought, this is a bit of a lurk to get people talking. Well, to open things up. So I started to, when I'd see someone, a victim, I mean somebody there, that I'd just walk up and go, just look them in the eye, and I don't do greasies very good anymore. I used to be really good at it, but I'm not much good at them anymore.
You're just too kind and gentle now, mate.
Yeah. And I just look at them and go, g'day, and put my hand out. And then nearly everybody, even if they haven't got much English, they'll put your hand. And then I could say to them, you've just joined the G'day Club.
Right.
And sometimes I'll finish off with, and see if a conversation starts, but I like to finish off as we're moving away from each other and say, there's a bit of an answer to the future, you know, saying g'day to people you don't know. Simple strategy. And I think the open hand is an opening. It's... Now, an open hand is always a good thing, a simple practice that can have profound implications. And it's infecting a lot of people, I've heard.
Well, here's one, a text sent in from Sue, who is married to Ned, and she says, I used to be a good conversationalist, but then I realised I was just talking to myself.
Come on, Ned has to lift his game.
That's right. Yeah. Ned has to lift his game. And I've got two here from my wife, actually. G'day, Debbie. How are you? Thanks for sending these in. Number one, I think in conversations it's always nice when somebody remembers your name. That's so important, you know. I remember that as a kid, you know, when somebody remembered my name in a conversation, I thought, whoa, this bloke's all right or this woman's all right, you know.
Even
so
today.
Important. And then she has a reminder for me. And she says, I remember when our daughter said to you, when my daughter was very young, she said, Daddy, listen to me with your eyes. I know that you mentioned looking into people's eyes when you talk to them, but listening with your eyes is important too. And that story is one that when she was a little girl and I was sitting at home on the couch reading the newspaper. Remember newspapers? You used to have newspapers.
Yep.
And reading the newspaper, and she's chatting away to me about something. Now, remember, I was, you know, what I taught was counselling skills, and I used to teach how important it is to pay attention to people. So just with that in mind, I'm sitting on the couch reading the paper and she's chatting away to me and she says, Daddy, are you listening to me? And I said, yes, sweetheart, I'm listening to you. And suddenly the paper is pulled down in front of me and she's staring at me with her eyes and she's saying, Daddy, listen to me with your eyes. So it's true, isn't it? It's very important to listen with your eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought the reminder from Debbie might have been bring home some milk, but
No, that's the third one.
So what's the number again if people want to text?
Okay, the number is 0414 862 922. Now, we've actually got somebody listening in Tasmania. Yeah. And this person says, good conversation starter, no more Elvis, more Walker Hayes. So, bit of a country fan there.
Okay.
That happens to be my son. My whole family's listening in. Yeah. G'day, Ray and Jill and others. And he also said that his son, Eli, said that to him yesterday about, Dad, are you even listening? And I said, yes. And he said, then listen to me with your eyes. So father and son have like problems, apparently.
Yeah, we got another track lined up, this time by Zach Williams. It's called Chainbreaker.
Trying to feel the same old holes inside. There's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. You got you.
y'all so much.
You are listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
That was Zach Williams. Now, that Zach's got quite a background, and he was actually singing that in front of a prison crowd. He went to the prison with his band and played Chainbreaker. And if you get the chance to watch the video, you can get it on YouTube and lift it up and have a look at it. Chainbreaker, Zach Williams, and it's just it's a fantastic video of somebody having a conversation with the prisoners through the gift of song and music. So have a look at it if you can. Powerful ministry that bloke's got.
It's a beauty.
You know, as we wind up this whole talk about conversations and good conversations and in there with Good Neighbor Month and how important it is to be kind to each other in our neighbourhoods, because that's what it was all about, really. And the kindness is shown in having a good conversation and sitting and listening to people and asking the right questions and so forth. It's also important to recognise that there's another side to the whole story of the world in which we're living in. And I think Zach Williams is talking about that from the idea of Chainbreaker, you know, these chains that have got a hold of us. And I suppose every one of us could relate to the idea of chains, and there's different chains for each one of us. But there's so much, I think, a hold on people in the not looking out for other people. So individualism and selfishness and self-centeredness, and there's a lot of it around. It's in the midst of people doing really good things. You know, there's both of those things happening at the one time. And we've seen that with Good Neighbour Month. But just a few days ago, I came across a clip from ABC Radio National, their program called All in the Mind. And it was an interview, just a short clip, is what I saw, with Bill Garvey. And Bill Garvey is a developmental paediatrician. And he was asked about his pet peeves and what are the concerns that he has about the world today in his area of developmental paediatrician. So looking at childhood and the developmental phases and so forth. And he talked about young people growing up with faulty role models of leadership and the use of power and what happiness is all about, and the idea that happiness, you know, is more connected to wealth and me getting my own way and getting what I want and so forth. He talked about the problem of in politics today around the world of power abuse and people just yelling and becoming aggressive and assertive and with unhealthy loudness, he talks about, and how kids are growing up seeing that as a model of leadership and not having it questioned even in the in social media as well as mainstream media. And he mentions individualism, he mentions entitlement, and he mentions not caring about others around them. And then he has a look at the news cycle and says this is really unhealthy what we're feeding to our kids today. So That really caused me to think, because I'd much rather think about the results of Good Neighbour Month and all the positives and so forth. And there's a lot around, and you know, I thank God for how his character is expressed in daily life through so many people around. But the Bible tells us very clearly that the light that we're shining in all those areas, you know, the goodness and the kindness and the grace and the love of God and the compassion of God, that light is actually shining into darkness. And so there is darkness around us. And how do we overcome that that individualism and entitlement and not caring about others that our kids are growing up with as sort of normal models? I think that might be the content of some life conversations to come in future months. But just to drop that by now and have us talking about that just as we wind up. Grant, do you have anything to comment on that?
Yeah, when you first started, it really struck me that, you know, people just want to be liked. they want to know that you like them. I think that's when it gets a lot more authentic, a lot safer. But you need to learn to like. I had to learn to like people because I didn't trust people for a lot of my life. It's really important because I realised that what I was starving for as well a lot was I wanted to be liked as well.
Yeah.
But I didn't behave that way because I was just acting out. But, yeah, people want to be liked. But you have to, in my journey to Christ, 22 years or 3 years, but I had to learn to like people.
Yeah.
And then it shows, and it shows now. I can see the fruits of it in recent years. Because I do like people. They're made in God's image, and that helps. That makes it easier to like them.
Yeah. Greg, can we, as the last song, do that Playing for Change, the Love Train?
Yep.
Can we jump into that? Can I just say a couple of words about it before we get to it? Playing for Change is a music organisation, really, that, once again, if you haven't found it, it's worth having a look at, and they've got loads of stuff on YouTube, Playing for Change, and started off in New York City as recording buskers, and then they decided to go all around the world and record street music from all around the world and mix it all together, and they've just done some fantastic work on it over the years. I love it. But then they started up some education for kids that were marginalised in various cities around the world, and education in music, and made education come alive because of the arts and the music that they were teaching them. Fantastic organisation. That's where they poured their money into that. And they play some really good stuff, and very positive about social change and social justice. And so I didn't want to leave this program on life conversations on the negative that we're talking about that Bill Garvey mentioned, even though I think it's important that we're aware of that. But this song, Love Train, calls out and says, come on, join the love train. It's there for all of us.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg.
Ladies and gentlemen, turn around arts, people all over the world, brothers, sisters, around the planet. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on now.